Hello, this is Daryl Bigger from Walla Walla University with another edition of The Good Word, series of Bible studies on the Bible and human emotions. My guests today are Larry Viverka from the School of Theology and Chaplain's Office at the hospital, and Julian Malgosa, the Dean of the Schools of Education and Psychology here, who is also the author of this quarter's study guides. Subject this week is Hope Against Depression. In the book, companion book to the study guides that Julian wrote, he refers to the World Health Organization statement that there are worldwide 121 million people who are suffering from depression. And from another source, 10 to 25% of women in the United States and 5 to 12% of men in the United States are suffering from depression, a serious and widely experienced problem. And Julian, I appreciate your courage in tackling this one. The text that was chosen for the memory text, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Isn't it the case that sometimes when we feel discouraged and depressed, we feel very far from God? And yet this psalm reminds us that God is close to those who are experiencing those phenomena.
The poem Footsteps is another statement that reminds us of that, that when we're incapacitated and unable to move, and there are only two sets of footprints in the sand, those are the footprints of Jesus who's carrying us through that tough time. Mm.
This is certainly a subject where I think the three of us at least agree that a combination of God's help and medical assistance is useful. Are there any quick ways in which you could identify for people at what point they ought to be seeking out some kind of medical or therapeutic advice?
Well, the diagnostic criteria includes a number of symptoms that have been experienced not for one day or two, but for about 2 weeks. And they include lack of energy, lack of appetite, depressive mood, in other words, low mood, absence of interest or pleasure for the things that are normally favorite, sleeping problems, motor retardation, feelings of self-esteem, of low self-esteem. But of course, you know, having one or two of those for too long of a time, I think it's enough that one can go to the medical doctor. It doesn't have to be a psychologist yet. Usually depression is treated medically and psychologically. Everybody knows that the medicines for depression will not cure, will make you feel better, but psychotherapy may cure depression, and people should seek help. Depression is not one of those things that you self-treat. You need help, or else, you know, very bad things such as suicide may happen.
So a combination of medication to reorient the chemicals in the brain and psychotherapy to get ourselves good thinking, as we talked about last week, get ourselves thinking well again, can be a help. You want to add anything to that, Larry?
Well, one thing that in a sort of reframing mode, it is to understand the function of depression, at least initially as it begins. Often there is either an imbalance or a situation, or it can be related to a traumatic past, that the body and mind together attempt to intervene and stop the person from trying to go on with life as if nothing were wrong or nothing were happening. There is, I think, a useful or helpful intent, at least with what the mechanisms of our being are trying to accomplish. But we live in an imperfect world, and where things, even good things, go awry. And certainly the sort of consequences when this is prolonged or gets stuck needs dramatic needs intervention.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be enough? Wouldn't it be enough that God would take care of this for me? Doesn't the fact that I'm depressed indicate that I've already lost faith in God?
I think that is one of the big mistakes that have been committed and have done a lot of damage to people. Some mental disorders have been considered as more the result of sin than a physical malady. And sometimes very faithful church members have been told by some person in the church that they are feeling depressed because they don't trust in the Lord and because they are not close enough to the Lord. That is a very unfortunate mistake to talk to this to someone who is in the midst of depression, because depression is an illness like a stomach ulcer that, you know, requires treatment. Mm. It happens to be one that you have more control with your mind than on other illnesses. All illnesses have some control of the mind, but depression will have more than others. But that doesn't mean that you have been abandoned by the Lord or that you are not close to the Lord. I think the person who suffers from depression needs a lot of understanding, a lot of acceptance, and a lot of support.
Mm-hmm. And I like to remind myself and others that just because we seek medical help in this kind of instance, medical and psychological help, doesn't mean that we're abandoning God at all. In fact, God is the one who made us this way and gave, throughout history, scientists the ability to discover how we function. So seeking out that natural help is a way of cooperating with the way God created us to live. So that's an extension, actually, of the divine assistance for us. Does Christianity offer a viable alternative to depression? Is there anything that Christians have available to them in their faith that gives them a leg up on other people in the world?
I'm not so sure that I would. I don't know how to frame it in those terms. I think we are a part of a community that takes very seriously the cooperative, the codependence, if you will, relationship between the whole person, physical, mental, spiritual, and I think for to intervene, it would require all three of these areas to be addressed. Certainly, we look at brains of people who are depressed, and we see that there's a vast difference between that and a non-depressed brain. And that would indicate a biochemical kind of imbalance mm-hmm. that needs to be addressed mm-hmm. physically,
mm-hmm.
Medically. We also are aware of what you've been talking about, Daryl, and that is often the kind of discouragement that comes in relationship to our own spirituality. And that's where I think what Julian is saying about encouraging, affirming people, reminding people of God's presence and closeness. And the encouragement of trust, the trust relationship with God to see them through is really important, as well as the mental aspects of rethinking our circumstances and our attitudes.
Mm-hmm. In the component that you are mentioning, the spiritual healing, I would recommend Psalm 42. Mm-hmm. It's a jewel to have a very, very clear description of the things that a depressive can go through. And here is David relating his own experience with all sorts of detail including my bones, suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? And it is just going over and over, and a depressive person can identify with this. But the beautiful thing is the conclusion of the psalm, when in the second part of verse 11 says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hmm. And it seems, it indicates that it is possible in the midst of depression to praise God, to recognize the power of God and to hope, and to know that maybe today I won't feel fully, but I know that the Lord is making me wait for whatever reason, and healing is coming. And I think, you know, Psalm 42 is a perfect account to lead a person to not to healing, because it's not going to come instantly unless the Lord chooses to make a miracle. But it will happen. We just need to hang in there, to mm-hmm. hold and to hope, and things are coming better. And that's what makes people survive. Mm. You know, they can wait a little longer.
You've talked in past weeks about the importance, the two of you, the importance of facing reality, of expressing our complaints very firmly and strongly to God, and now to be reminded in the face of those complaints about God's promises gives us hope for something, that something will change. That combination is an interesting one. It does lead us Christians at times to be accused of simply denying reality and putting a different label on it, or escaping the present by running to the future. For me, it's different than that. It is a matter of, you used the word, Larry, I think, reinterpret or reframe.
Reframing.
Reframe the present.
It's a Viktor Frankl concept.
To see it through the eyes of God, mm-hmm. for whom the past and the future are as certain as the present, and for whom time doesn't have the kind of boundaries that it does for us, that speaks volumes to me about regaining hope at a time of discouragement. Well, I thank you again for your willingness to be part of this discussion, and I trust that those of you who have listened have recognized the importance of combining scriptural hope, the examples of biblical figures, including Jesus himself, who faced his own periods of discouragement, and reaching out to both the wisdom God has given us through the medical and psychological world, and uniting that with the supernatural intervention that God promises to us. And in that way, we have hope against depression. Thank you all for listening. And for Larry Viverka and Julian Melgosa for being part of this discussion today, this is Daryl Bigger from Walla Walla University for The Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.